Jesus, in our gospel reading for today, is in the house of Levi, the man that we better know as Matthew, the author of the gospel. And in the house of Levi, Jesus was feasting with lots of different people. But in the eyes of the Pharisees, they were the wrong kind of people. Why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? Well, to understand their question, Christians, we should probably understand something about the Pharisees. Who were they? Well, in those days, they were those who seemed to be the most serious about God. In fact, you would be hard-pressed to find anybody who took God more seriously than they did. The Pharisees wanted to keep the law of God. They wanted to do what was pleasing to him. So if God told them to do something, they did it. Even if it was hard, they still did it. The trouble with the Pharisees, Christians, was not how serious they were about God. May we be as serious as they were. Rather, the trouble with the Pharisees was that they added to God's word. Believing that they had, in fact, kept God's law, they added more on top of it, all in an attempt to do what they thought God wanted them to do. So did the law, for example, command them to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement? They fasted twice a week. Did the law tell them to give 10% of their income? Well, they gave 10% even of the mint, which grew by itself. Did the law tell them to keep away from all impurity? Well, they would run their drinks through a sieve just to be sure. And they did even more besides. The law did not give any clear instructions on all the steps needed to take with washing, and yet they made sure that they always washed with a fist. The law told them to avoid unclean foods. And so they avoided the houses of Gentiles altogether. The law told them to avoid uncleanliness, and so they shunned all unclean people. Keep to yourself. Do not come near me, for I am too holy for you, is the kind of thing that they said in their pride. So Jesus eating with these people makes no sense to them. Doesn't he know who they are? Doesn't he know that they are unclean? What kind of man would want to eat with that kind of people? Let's also not be mistaken about the kind of people that Jesus was eating with, Christians. Tax collectors and sinners were not what you would call polite company. Tax collectors were those who worked on behalf of the Romans. The Romans would want a certain amount of money to be raised, usually for a war or a building project, doesn't really matter what it was. But whenever they needed money, they would go to the tax collectors and get as much as they could from them. And then they gave the tax collectors the authority to then go out among the people and make up their loss. The tax collectors paid the Romans, and the people paid the tax collectors. That's how the system worked. But you can imagine a system like that would be very easy to abuse. Because, like, let's say, for example, you owed the Romans $1,000. Well, why not get $2,000 from the people? Why not three? Why not four? Why not as much as you wanted? The Romans would get what they needed, and you would get something besides as a payment for your troubles. Tax collectors were known for being dishonest, thieving kind of people. People who were willing to sell out their own people just to make a buck. They were not the kind of people you would normally associate with. And yet, Jesus is here eating with them. Wouldn't it be better, the Pharisees said, if Jesus just avoided these kinds of people? Wouldn't it be better, the Pharisees said, if he kept company with those who were actually serious about the law? Not those who would sell their own grandmother, not those who turned away from God, not those who were not serious about keeping God's law. Wouldn't it be better, they said, if he ate with people who actually cared? People like the Pharisees. But when Jesus hears them grumbling, he gives them a very simple answer. Verse 17, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus had come not to call the healthy, but the sick. He had come not to call the clean, but the unclean. Because Jesus had not come into the world in order to condemn it, but in order to save it, and to deliver from its bondage to sin so that the many would be made righteous, and not just the few. Because the grand irony of all of this, Christians, is that those who considered themselves to be healthy were in fact the worst off. The Pharisees imagined they could see better than anybody, and yet they were totally spiritually blind. They imagined that they were the healthiest when it came to the things of God, yet no one was more desperately sick. Because by corrupting God's word and by adding stuff on top of it, they had lost sight of God. They had focused entirely upon themselves to the detriment of all around them, and the holiness that God had meant to be a beacon to the world, to call all to the Lord, was instead used to call attention to themselves. Jesus had not come to call those who considered themselves to be righteous already, because such people will never enter the kingdom of God. Jesus has come instead to call sinners, to call those who know their sin, who know that they have fallen short of the glory of God, who know that they have done things that they should not have done, and not done things that they should have done. Jesus has not come to call the Pharisee, but the tax collector. Jesus has not come to call the one who considers himself holy, but the prostitute. Jesus has not come to call the one who has done all the right things, but instead the adulterer, the liar, the thief, the cheat. To say to them, yes, you have sinned. What you have done is wrong, and therefore you certainly deserve to die. But for those who repent of these things, no matter how dark that sin may be, there is forgiveness and life. I have come, Jesus says, not to call the righteous, but sinners. And sinners, make no mistake, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Every time we have said a vicious word about someone, talking about them behind their back, saying things or thinking things that we would never say to their face, that was sin. Every time we have let money become the one thing needful, so that it takes control over everything to the point that we even skip church when we could have easily gone, or skip prayer, that was sin. And every time we said something was not a sin, sleeping around, living together, whatever it may be. Or even tolerating these things in our children because we say, in this case, it must be different. That was sin. Whatever the exact reason, not one of us is righteous. No, not one. Not you, not me. But to you, Jesus says, come. Come and repent of your sin. Not in that whoops, I'm sorry kind of sense, lying to God's face, saying I'll do better, and then going right back to it as soon as I leave the door. Not in that way. But to recognize that it was, in fact, wrong. That not only I should not have done that, but also that I never want to do that again. I never want to be like that again. To you, the crushed in heart and the humble in spirit, Jesus says, come. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Do not delay. Do not hold back. Come, hurry, turn back towards God. And you will find a father's heart. You will find free and full forgiveness from your sin and freedom from that sin. You will find new life in him even now. So come, all you sinners, come to Jesus, for he has come to call you to be his own, both now and forever. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who calls us poor sick sinners to yourself, forgive us our sins and make us your own to the glory of your holy name. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.